You may be seated. Hear these words from the book we love, The Bush That Burns and Is Never Consumed. Jesus says this in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." It's these words of Jesus that inspire us tonight, in obedience to his command to go forth there and make disciples for all the nations. We baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, knowing that God, through Jesus, through the Spirit, is always, always with us. In the sacrament of baptism, God gives us a new identity as his people. And identity is everything, because if you know who you are, you know what to do. In a world that has turned away from its creator, and it has, where anonymity and rootlessness threaten our existence, God calls a people, a new people, into covenant embrace. God is always calling, always has. God called Abraham and Sarah and gave them new names and promised to make them a new nation through which he would bless all the families, all the nations of the world. God cut a covenant to Israel's flesh, carving out a people for himself. They would light the path home for all humanity. In the fullness of time, God sent his son, only son, Jesus, who is the Christ, to be our one and only Savior. Not only ours, but for everyone at all times and in all places. He is the good news. He is the gospel. And in his death on the cross, our old self is dead and buried. In his resurrection, we rise to new life and look forward to a new creation. And when we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the triune God seals our adoption as his children and writes his name invisibly on our foreheads, that you are my beloved, now and forever, that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. By baptism, we are inaugurated into the kingdom of God. By baptism, we have a new identity in Jesus Christ, our one and only Savior. Jesus has always been about identity, giving us a new name, a name that marks us as God's. One of my favorite stories is Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit comes upon the people, they hear the people speaking in lots of different languages, the language of the country in which they came from, so that they could hear the good news of Jesus Christ. People thought the people were drunk, and Peter stands up and says, "No, they're not drunk. This is what was promised through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Holy Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both male and female, I'll pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Peter preaches, and when he's done, the people are overwhelmed with conviction. And then the scriptures say this. They say that when they heard this, this being Peter's sermon, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers and sisters, what should we do?" And Peter said to them this, and this is what I love. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. A few weeks ago, we had the gathering service and we preached on the baptism of Jesus. And at the end of that service, I said, if anyone would be interested to learn or talk more about baptism, well, a number of people did. And five people have come forward that says, I would like to be baptized. I would like to go into those waters that wash and cleanse and renew and purify. I would like to be buried with Christ and come out with Christ in his resurrection hope. Will you baptize us? The answer is yes. Tonight we will baptize five students of our beloved community. Murray Sales, Hallie Hook, Hauk, Megan Edwards, Emily Sandstedt, Allison Udding. Okay, five of our beloved students are gonna come forward now. I invite you on up. Come on, let's give them some love. Yes, all right. All right, my friends, let me pray real quick for us as we step into this moment. God of the death and God of the life, God of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world, we come to you in your name tonight, surrounded by your church, stirred by your Spirit, to claim your promise that you will mark and seal us as your own now and forever. Come, Holy Spirit, on this people in this place at this time. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the people said, amen. I ask you to stand. Beloved of God, you stand before us to receive the sacrament of baptism. I ask you, therefore, before God and Christ's church, to reject evil, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess your faith to the church. Friends, do you believe in the one God, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Do you acknowledge that you are a sinner, forgiven only through the death and resurrection of Christ on your behalf?
I do.
Do you, relying on the grace of God, promise to confess Christ publicly before others, to serve Christ daily, and to walk in Jesus' way?
I do.
Whew. Do you promise to exhibit the joy of a new life in Christ, to share fully in the life of the body of Christ, the church, to be faithful in worship and service, and to offer your prayers and your gifts?
I do.
And do you promise to accept the spiritual guidance of the church, to walk in a spirit of Christian love with the body of Christ, and to seek those things which make for unity, purity, and peace?
I do.
Let it be so. Friends, would you please stand if you are able? Do you promise to love, encourage, support these brothers and sisters by teaching the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family in fellowship, prayer, and service? If so, say, we do. Let it be so. You may sit down. So what we're going to do now is for each person who will be baptized, they're going to share a brief testimony, and then we'll have a baptism. So listen and enter in and celebrate with them all that God is doing. Murray Sales will be our first baptizee. Would you give Murray some love?
I'm only through week five of public presentations right now, so I hope you'll cut me a little bit of slack. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Murray Sales. I'm a junior here at Hope. Growing up, I was raised in a really awesome household. God blessed me with parents who loved me so much. I've got two awesome brothers who I think also love me. From day one, I was supported and raised in the church. I was raised in the same church I go to today, so I've grown up with the same kind of supporting community, which has been awesome. My parents built our home on a strong Christian foundation, and so that meant church every Sunday for me. As they went into big church, I'd head into my Sunday school classes. One of the things about me is I'm a very competitive person, and so as I went into these Sunday school classes, I wanted to learn everything that happened, and then I wanted to beat everyone who was in those classes. So that meant I was trying to learn all these facts about the Bible and just digesting it, but not really understanding the stories. I think if you had put me on Kid Jeopardy that was all about the Bible, I kind of would have killed it. But it didn't mean that I knew what was going on or that I understood really what I was reading. And so this continued kind of on through high school. I looked like this great Christian. I was, I knew all the facts, I knew all the stories, and I looked great. I didn't drink or party. I went to Young Life, went to church every Sunday, and so this just kind of continued. This became my identity. Instead of pursuing Christ, I was pursuing the look that I was with Christ. And then I met this girl, senior year of high school, started dating her, and this began a new idolatry that I started chasing. Instead of going after God, I started trying to please her, and I started trying to chase the fact that I would be a great boyfriend, just did everything for her and didn't do it for God. So fast forward 2.5 years, that's earlier this summer, we break up, and so I start to lose this identity, and then 3 days later, my grandfather dies, and I'm sent into a tailspin. I lose these two people who had been a big part of my life, one for 2.5 years, one for my whole life, and I'm broken inside. I lost everything that I had, or felt I had, and that drove me to turn back to this faith that even though I hadn't really been following God, I started to look back into these stories and be like, what does this mean for me? Why am I, how do these affect me? And so even though from my very young age where I started in the church and up until this past summer, I didn't really focus on that, but I moved in and started to look back towards my faith, look back towards God, and started to feel these nudges from God, like, go read the Bible, start to pray a little bit more. And slowly I started to build that trust back up into God and started to find my faith on my own for the first time, which was just amazing. All of this made me realize that God is always with me. I can try and do these things on my own, but it's not going to work out that way. As much as I wish it would, I can't do things on my own. I have to rely on God. When I lean on God and find him, whether I'm in the high points or the valleys of my life, I know that I may be tested and that I'm blessed with a great life and that God loves me back no matter where I'm at. So just to kind of close, I'd like to thank my family for loving me wherever I'm at, and I'd like to thank my friends who have just helped pour into me. And I'd like to thank all of you who have just, even if you don't know it, or just a smile everywhere I go, it helps helps to know God's with me. So thank you.
We've not done a dress rehearsal, so oh brother, I hope I don't hurt you.
I hope so too.
Murray, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Nancy. Woo. All right, brother. Come here. Good job. All right. Yes.
Hi. My name is Megan, and I'm a senior. My depression began when I was a junior in high school. I had incredible friends, but no one really knew how I was feeling. My depression was so strong that I couldn't handle the pain of my emotions, and so I would hurt myself. For me, physical pain was always easier to understand than emotional pain, and it was surprisingly easy to hide. Going into my senior year, my parents were going through a divorce. It was my job to support my mom in everything and make sure she was okay. And so I was okay, even when I wasn't. And then I left for hope. I met wonderful friends, and God suddenly appeared in every part of my life. He was there every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He was there in my classes. He was there amongst my friends. He was there more than just Sunday mornings, and I'd never really experienced him in this way before. Then sophomore year hit, and the depression smacked me in the face again. I felt totally and completely unloved and unworthy. Not only was I convinced that my friends did not love me, but I couldn't understand God's love for me. I quickly went back into my old habits, and again, it was easy to hide and ignore. I didn't want the burden. I didn't want to burden my friends with my pain, so I smiled every day. How could I let them be affected by what I was doing to myself? This continued into my junior year, and I kept falling farther and farther. I can't pinpoint exactly what moment things changed. All I know is that somewhere in that darkness, God began to show up again. And it wasn't until later that I realized he'd been there the whole time. There's a song we sing at the gathering that says, "There's nothing louder than the song of my Father." For so long, I didn't believe these words. The devil's shout seemed so much louder than God's, and I eventually came to realize that God was always reaching down to me. He was always shouting. All I needed to do was listen. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." That is how I'm choosing to live my life from now on. I know that God's grace covers me, and with him, I can stand against anything. I will be prepared. I choose Jesus instead of cutting my wrists. It makes me so much happier without all the risks. The view from up here is so great. It's like a brand new open gate to a path that shone through the light to lead me out of this heavy darkness before I ignite from the sadness and fear that holds me so tight. Now I know it's God holding me to make sure I'm all right. He washes away more than the physical scars on my skin, but my soul was made clean for me to re-begin. I wrote those words 2 years ago, and at the time I didn't believe them. But even then, God was in my life telling me that the day would come, and I'm happy to say that that day is today.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You now belong to Christ.
Okay, I might need some grace. I'm not very good at speaking in front of people, so. Hi, everyone. I'm Haley Houck. I'm a sophomore here at Hope. Imperfection's always been something that I've struggled with for a long time now, but I didn't really start to truly believe it until about 4 years ago when a girl I was best friends with told me I wasn't a good enough Christian to be her friend. So from then on, the devil continued to plant these seeds in my heart, telling me that I was not good enough to receive the love of God. Over the course of the next couple years, I began to believe these lies more and more. I grew ashamed of who I was, beginning to push people away so they couldn't see the real me. I drove friends out of my life, even family. I worried that if they found out I am not perfect, that they wouldn't want anything to do with me. If I showed them one bit of my flaws, I would be abandoned. However, that's what the devil wanted me to believe. But through God, I have overcome these. I have become to know that I don't need to be perfect. If we were all perfect, we wouldn't need God. From this day on, I pray God helps me to not be fooled by these lies, but only to be aligned with his truth. As it is written in 2 Corinthians 12:9, But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Thank you.
In the love of God, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You belong in our sins of Christ. Amen.
Hi, my name is Emmy Caroline Sandstedt, and I'm a freshman here at Hope College. Today, I am being baptized to proclaim my identity as a daughter of my Lord Jesus Christ. If you had told me a month ago that I would be standing here sharing my testimony, I would have said you were crazy. Before I came to Hope College, I was what you would call a good Christian. I grew up in a Christian home, knew all the Bible stories, went to church, loved my neighbors, and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior at an early age. But it would take a long time for me to make my faith my own. Even in high school, I wasn't actively seeking a close relationship with God. I knew he was there, I prayed to him, but I kept him at a distance. I wanted to be in control of my own life, and I thought God would get in the way. Instead of pursuing God, I pursued an identity, how I wanted people to see me. I tried to find an identity in theater, music, intelligence, in my relationships, but none of these identities gave me the fulfillment and acceptance I wanted so desperately. Then God brought me here to Hope College, and everything changed. I was welcomed into a loving, compassionate Christian community where just being myself was enough. Through the people, the worshiping, the messages at chapel and the gathering, I encountered God everywhere. On the night of my first gathering, I heard him call out to me in an almost tangible way, inviting me to get to learn who he was. And I started crying because I heard him and I finally decided to listen. In the past few weeks, my desire to know God and to pursue a relationship with him has grown more than I could have possibly imagined. I pray and I know that he's listening. The Bible is no longer just a rule book. It's God speaking to me, teaching me, letting me know how much he loves me. I'm learning to trust in him and that it's okay that I'm broken. And as I continue my spiritual journey, my prayer and my favorite Bible verse is this, Psalm 25:5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Thank you.
Emily, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
And I'm a sophomore this year. When Trigvi asked me to write a testimony to share with you all tonight, I was immediately nervous because I did not know what I wanted to say. I had no life-altering event or inspiring story of triumph over trial to speak of. I am quite ordinary. However, when I thought long and hard about my journey in faith, I realized that it has been just that, a journey, a culmination of 1,000 little things that have made me who I am and brought me to stand before you to speak tonight. I grew up in a Christian home in Granville, Michigan. My parents taught me about God and how to pray. They told me that Jesus loved me and sent me to vacation Bible school in the summer, but I have never attended regular Sunday services. I do not have a home church, and I have never been baptized. For as long as I can remember, a part of me has felt guilty about what I was potentially missing, and a fear of the unknown kept me from pursuing understanding. In order to compensate, I tried to be the perfect daughter, the perfect friend, and the perfect student. Outwardly, it appeared that I had everything together and I was not lacking in any aspect of my life, even though I knew I was not excelling in the most important area. I kept this up for years, and pretty soon I began to find my identity in my perfection. The summer before freshman year of high school, my best friend invited me to go to camp with her, Portage Lake Covenant Bible Camp in Onekama, Michigan. Like many other church camps, Wednesday night is the big night where campers are invited to accept Jesus Christ into their lives. During the sermon, I didn't know why, but all of a sudden I was crying and the tears wouldn't stop. I finally realized how much I had been truly missing. I had known God my whole life, but I had never really known him. I have run cross country since third grade, and put into running terms, I had been running without a training plan and without a goal. I had been living without a purpose, and I had let a fear of the unknown and a desire for complete control keep me from the most worthwhile and rewarding thing in life, having our true relationship with God. Since that day, He has placed people in my life, family, friends, teammates, and teachers, that inspire me daily and have been incredible examples of what it looks like to live a life for Him. Some of you are here tonight, and I'm eternally grateful for the way you have shown me God through your support and your love. The unknown is something I no longer want to fear, and I am working to give all aspects of my life to God. As my favorite verse, Ecclesiastes 3:11, tells me, He has made everything beautiful in its time. His plan for me is so much better than anything I could ever imagine. No matter how many friends I have or how good of grades I earn, how fast I run or how perfect I try to be, I will never truly be fulfilled without Him. I now choose to find joy in the journey and to trust God every step of the way. My seed has been planted by streams of water, and I am ready to grow in His love.
Allie, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we baptize you in His name. Amen. You are now Christ, the seal of the kingdom. Yes. All right. Yes. Let's give Him love. Yes. All right. That's beautiful. Yeah. All right, we're not done. We got some more stuff. No, you can sit down. Yeah, you can sit down. Sorry, you're so trusting. I love that about you. Hey, I want to invite some of our covenant partnerships, local churches, to come up, and we're going to pray for them and for you and for the college. Baptism roots us in the context of the life and witness of the church, the body of Jesus, and one of the blessings of our college is that we are surrounded by churches, pastors, congregations that love Jesus and who love you. And so when we do this act tonight, we do this in the full public witness of the local church. Can we move up your chairs just a little bit, and we'll kind of come alongside. And so we're just going to spend a couple minutes together in, just as there's one baptism, kind of one prayer tonight, okay? So let's just enter into a little bit of time of prayer to bless them, bless God. When we clap, we are clapping for the courage you have of faith, but we are also clapping for God tonight. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go. We're going to lay hands.
Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We thank you for these young people who have committed their lives publicly to you. And Lord, it's a work of the Spirit, something that you do because you are so good, you're so gracious, you're so providential, you're so sovereign. Lord, we thank you for their witness today, but we recognize that, God, we have this great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, Lord, people who are with you in heaven now, people who are in this space right now who have prayed for years for moments like this, Lord. So we just stop and say thank you. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your provision, God. And we just give these young people over to you and pray that you would have your will in their life. Seal them with your Holy Spirit. Do your great work in them.
Father, I pray just for new life. Thank you that there's nothing magical about the water, but it's all an inward reality. And so I pray for every student here that today made the decision to trust you in a new way and take this step to say, God, I want to be aligned with you. And so we just pray and affirm that it's not the water, but it's Jesus that lives inside of us. And so I pray over them that this would be something that's ongoing and that keeps on strengthening and strengthening as they keep on walking. And I just pray that over them in Jesus' name.
God, we praise you that your word says that this is eternal life, that we may know you, the one true God, and your son, Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I pray that these five people, God, would grow in their intimacy with you. God, that they would grow in their love and affection for you, Jesus, that you would continue to give them eyes to see the reality that their faith is not founded on things that can change or that are shifting, but God, the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. So God, would you give them eyes to see the greater revelation of Jesus and what he's done for them? God, would you equip them? Would you fill them with your spirit and equip them for the work that you've called them to, God, that they are now entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. God, that they would go forth in boldness and encourage as ambassadors for the King.
Gracious Father, the promises for Murray and for Megan and for Haley and for Emily and for Allie, the promises for all who are far off. So for any who is far off tonight, whether they are far away from faith or think themselves far from faith, would you make the promise real to them? Even as we've seen it in baptism, the water splashing, reminding us Jesus Christ is living water, would you make it real for any tonight who think of themselves as far off? The promise is for all who are far away.
Holy God, gracious God, merciful God, we love you. And we know that we can only say those words that we love you because you have loved us first. We ask that you pour your spirit upon us. Fill the hearts of these five new Christians with love. Fill their hearts with joy and grace. You have made a promise to them today, and we ask that you remember your promises and fill the hearts of all of us here and all the people we love with joy. Amen.
For what you have done, for what you are doing, and for what you have yet to accomplish and do among us, God, we bless and thank you. We bless you for this college, God. May we be worthy of its name, Hope. And as each one here was signed and sealed with a new identity in you, Christ, may you mark them with your name of hope. Beloved sons and daughters of Lord Jesus Christ. To that end, God, we say thank you and we bless you. And we are reminded of a grace that claims us, that cleanses us, that purifies us, that renews us, just like the waters of baptism. A grace that inspires us to sing together. Amazing grace, how sweet. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all the people said, Amen. Right. I'd invite you to stand. So one of the things that when you are baptized, there are things that you believe. And out of things you believe, there are things that you say. In the church, we call these creeds and confessions. One of the things we say every week here at the gathering is a creed, the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. This is what Christians say all over the globe in every language. It is said by Christians at all times and in all places. It is said by these Christians, because it's what we believe to be true. And when we say these words, we are claiming our baptism. Some of you were baptized as children. You don't remember it, but God does. And he's been working in your life, maybe not always in dramatic ways, but in small ways. But when we say these words, we are reminding that God has claimed us. And so, my friends, as we say the Apostles' Creed, claim it as one of your baptism declarations, that tonight you participate in your baptism again through what the church believes. And what we believe is this. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.